It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's Film Guru.
And now let's get the starting lineup for this week's edition of Film Sociology! At 5'10" from Indiana University, starting at producer, engineer tonight, Kobe Slago! And at 5'5½" from the Ball State University,
film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, and I am 5'5½" from the Ball State University. Yes, as you heard the introductions.
Nice, new intro.
Yeah, working behind the board. Gentleman with way too much time on his hands today, my producer, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And two ladies, my theatrical worlds are colliding, and as it is in my contract, I have to be surrounded by smart, beautiful women at all times. Jolene Mentig-Moffat and Leah DeWalt, two of the ladies that you can see tonight in the opening night of Last Night of Ballyhoo at the Indianapolis Civic Theater. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, Matthew.
Welcome back. And Kobe, you're in this never-ending process of trying to have me incorporated with the Pacers, a.k.a. white basketball, Hickory High. I'm sorry, I have a little house cleaning here, ladies.
Okay.
You saw Hickory High play the Chicago Bulls last Friday.
How'd it turn out?
What did Derrick Rose do?
He is not the worst point guard in the NBA.
No, he is not, said Charles Barkley.
Nope.
So, but the Pacers are right now trying to become the Seattle Seahawks of the East.
They're sitting at number 8.
They're at number 8.
Barely.
I know.
Yep.
We've all recovered from the hangover of the NFC. No.
Can we not talk about that?
No, that's quite all right.
Should I not tell you right now I'm from Pittsburgh?
Please don't.
Actually, it's all right, because I'm kind
of
done
I cannot root for any of those teams.
I understand that, but
I won't take it personally.
I feel badly, but I cannot. I'm so sorry.
I know.
Sorry.
It's foot fetish versus alleged rapist. It's a tough... I said alleged. I'm sorry. Should we get to the film sense? Yes.
I think we should.
I have to warn Jolene about being salty. Now I'm just going to start it up in there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just a little note, programming note here at WFYI. As we talked about last week, Roger Ebert is returning to television, and he's going to be on WFYI Channel 20 starting tomorrow night at 6 p.m. The show is called Ebert Presents at the Movies. This is his own production. He's going to be a part of it. He'll have a part of it. There's apparently enough audio that he is able to do a segment with his own voice and not sound like Stephen Hawking. Mm-hmm. But it's with Christy Lemire of the Associated Press and then, oh my goodness, Ignacy Vishenevsky of Mubai.com. Say it fast.
Okay.
And yeah. So anyway, they are the host. So that is going to be back on starting tomorrow night. So good to have Mr. Ebert back on television. Because if it were not for sneak previews, this show wouldn't happen, and you can blame that show for having this happen. So there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two films, not screened for the press. don't know why. Stormy weather. But one is the Natalie Portman, Ashton Kutcher comedy No Strings Attached, which already has a running
We got a grimace already.
Well, I mean, really, did you really want to?
I will say this. At least one half of that poster is already in the front running for poster of the year.
Sure is.
Yeah, it's right up there with Tamara Drew. I wondered when this film was made, and has it been on the shelf, and did somebody put it out just to remind folks about Black Swan? It's possible. It's possible. Mm. But I don't live in Los Angeles, so I don't know these things. Mm-hmm. But I'm just putting it out there. However, are you ready? Because we love cinematic gene pools. Ashton Kutcher's dad in this film?
Yeah.
Kevin Kline.
Get out. Really?
Yes. I pondered that for a little bit.
I am.
Kind of like
not sure what to think.
National Treasure, where John Voight plus Helen Mirren equals Nicolas Cage. What?
Yeah.
Or probably arguably my favorite is the Sidney Lumet crime drama Family Business from 1989. The grandson is Matthew Broderick. His dad is Dustin Hoffman. His granddad is Sean Connery.
Oh, my God.
What do the women look like in these shows? Kind of like the ladies in the Ponderosa. So, anyway, that's... It's a bonanza reference, Kobe. Also opening today, and this is what intrigued me, so I'm kind of miffed that we didn't get it. It's called The Way Back, and it's a gulag escape drama, and it's with Colin Farrell and Ed Harris and Charisse Ronan, the Atonement Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and, yes, thank you. So they're all in this, and it's directed by Peter Weir, who's given us everything from Picnic at Hanging Rock, Dead Poets Society, Fearless, Master and Commander was his last film 7 years ago, The Truman Show. So interesting cast, director I like. So we will see. We'll see about that.
Cool.
And then, of course, tonight at the IMA, if you're not going to see Ballyhoo, and shame on you for not.
We run for 3 more weeks.
Thank you, dear. Part of the IMA Winter Films, Winter Nights, it's film noir is their subject, and tonight they are showing Key Largo.
Ooh, fun.
That's right. Humphrey Bogart, young Lauren Bacall, Ira G. Robinson, directed by John Huston. Definitely a must see.
Absolutely, even in this cold.
Yes, it is okay to go. Yes, you ladies are of course part of the.
Holy
it's
cow.
Okay and go out to arts events in January.
Well, yeah,
and it doesn't have to be in Carmel. You can actually come south.
Yeah,
there are things you know.
Mm-hmm. South of 86th Street,
a little
sure
bit.
Are.
And then there's a movie across 110th Street, which I'll make you watch later. But also at the IMA as part of their series, on the 28th, they're showing the Kurosawa film Stray Dog. Mm. On February 11th, Kiss Me Deadly, the Mike Hammer film from the 50s. Detour from the 40s on the 18th. And February 25th, Memento.
I love that movie.
Yes.
I finally saw Inception.
And?
We can talk about that later if you want.
No, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit. But... No, one of the funny things about the Memento DVD, which I own, is...
Oh, really? Can
yes.
I borrow it?
What
I
DVD
loved that movie.
That?
Yes, dear. Okay. new segment. What is Jolene watching?
Yes, exactly.
Jeez. But no, on the DVD, there is a series of psychological tests that you can take, and then you can watch the film in chronological order.
Oh.
Here's the catch. You can't pause it.
Oh, crap.
It took me 7 tries in my house before the wife or the child or something.
The child.
Because this was, Emma was younger. This was, I think, in her infant days, so I could not have conversation. Emma, sit down, please. Right. Daddy would like to watch this Christopher Nolan movie. Go do something else. Uh-huh. No, this was before those pre-Gwyneth days. But 7 times I finally had to announce it. Give me 2 hours to watch this thing. So anyway, that's a special feature on that. I'll add that to the maybe I'll add that to your bouquet.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
It's only a memento.
You can put that in my fee.
We don't. That's a joke, folks. We don't do payola jokes here. That's not funny.
Sorry about that.
Funny at all.
Not
as sorry as I am. All right. All right. So that being said, with no new movies to talk about, well, because I don't talk about films I haven't reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Like other
we
people.
We don't do that here.
So it is catch up, not the condiment. So it's catching up time.
Also from Pittsburgh.
Heinz Field. Wow. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow.
Not the field, the actual ketchup.
Yes, we know.
There's
we know.
The,
call me, you know what? Bring some Iron City next time and we'll talk, okay?
There you go.
Or some Yingling. Love Yingling. Not an underwriter.
Oh.
All right, so ladies, now, Jolene, you were telling a story. You went to the movies recently.
I did.
What have you caught up on?
December, right
before
Christmas.
Recent.
got out of the house, and we decided we were going to pretend like we were young and carefree again. So we went to an early movie, like a 7 o'clock or a 6 o'clock.
Right.
Bought a great big thing of popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
Bought our tickets.
You
to
were
the
edge.
Hell yeah.
It gets better.
Heck
it gets
yeah.
better.
And then we saw Harry Potter 7 in IMAX.
Ah, Harry Potter is the fugitive.
Exactly. In IMAX. It was grand and wonderful. Then we went back and we refilled our popcorn. And we went down the hall, and we went into another movie. and we saw Due Date, which, have you seen it?
Due Date. Oh, yes.
With Rob, with
Planes,
Robert
Trains,
Downey.
And yes. No Trains. And
I loved
Robert
it.
Downey
you are an our DJ.
Robert Downey Jr. is, he was phenomenal. And that Zach was awesome.
Galifianakis.
It was wonderful.
Okay.
And I will admit to you that I think Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is one of the funniest movies ever.
Okay.
But I didn't think this was such a ripoff.
Because critics have to say snarky things. Like,
of course
make references to movies over 20 years old.
Right,
that
of course.
The mall crowd, I have not seen.
Right,
so
right, right.
That's what
no,
we do.
I really liked it. I really liked it a lot.
Okay.
So that was fun.
No, you made no eye contact with anybody as you were waltzing in the feature,
no,
too.
No,
kind of like Al Pacino shooting in The Godfather. Just drop it, don't make eye contact, I need to keep going.
I know, and I
and you had a blast.
Not good behavior, but we did it. We had a blast.
We don't condone or
no.
do such a whatever.
No.
So
it's been a long, 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 long time.
Because I know you're also kind of stuck in kid film.
Yes.
Mm. Not
really
hell. It's
like
not
it
hell.
Kid
it's
film Wonderland.
Right.
Thank you, Leah.
Right.
That's so nice of you to put it that way.
But I think I know Toy Story 3 forwards and backwards and How to Train Your Dragon in my sleep. I mean,
ooh.
I can say them word for word. That's
two,
how much
okay.
to watch them.
Two of the better ones.
They,
how
do
the kids react to the near United 93 moment at the end of Toy Story 3?
They loved it.
Are they? Okay. I was concerned because that you're really going to end the movie this way?
Oh, I
you're
know.
You're really going to... Oh, thank God for the aliens.
Oh, I know. You know, I'm crying.
Like, you're not ending this movie this way. Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, okay.
My 10-year-old reached over and patted me on the leg and she goes, it's Disney. It's okay. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, you didn't see it. Kid, you didn't see any of the movies they did in the early
80s. Bambi, for God's sakes.
Hey, that's exactly it. I think everybody's like, oh, my gosh, are we really going to go down this dark, dark path? So,
I know. It was great. I loved
okay.
it because of that.
Very cool. Very
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Leah, have you seen anything lately? I know you've been in rehearsals, obviously.
I have been in rehearsals. She brought up How to Train Your Dragon. I got that for Christmas. That's one of my favorites.
Did you?
I do. Although, I have a certain kitten that is extremely similar to the... dragon in that film, and so that was part of the fun.
Breathes fire.
How did you guess?
I don't know. Do you also have Jay? Do you also have Jay Bushnell running around playing with the cat?
Stop it. Although the voice of the voice of the girl in that, the main girl, is America Ferrera.
Correct.
Who was in Ugly Betty,
yes.
which has
that's
been
right.
another one of my fetish. I'm into old fetish. That's been over for a year or two, but I've recently came across that series, and I love it.
And thank you for saying fetish on HD Radio.
Nice.
No, you're fine. Yeah, and that point of reference on that is the 9-year-old Alina. Do I know anybody in this movie?
Mm.
Was it Craig Ferguson? Wait, no, Gerard Butler. Oh, that's Mims.
Phantom
that's
of the Opera.
Mims Island's. I'm not showing my daughter Phantom of the Opera.
Not that she.
Jeez, not. Yeah, she has enough bombastic stuff in her home with her dad. She doesn't need Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Right.
Jeez. But yeah, I'm like, hey, that's the dad in Nims Island. There's your pointer. She goes, okay, I've seen him.
Okay,
thanks. All right.
She has to know pointer references. Now, Kobe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kobe, of course, has a regular segment called What is Kobe Watching, which we've tabled for the week because you actually went out to a theater.
Yeah, like a real person.
Like a real human being.
Kobe, did you have a date?
I did not. Oh. It was a guy's night.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. That's all right.
Did you have you didn't have the seat between you, did you?
What?
You
seat,
know where the guys with the movie, they all sit.
We're
every
men,
other
but we're going to
oh.
sit with a space between us. You didn't
no.
do that, did
no,
you?
Thank
all
God.
Right. Thank yeah. you.
Real men sit beside each other.
And drink Chardonnay from time to time. So
sometimes hold hands.
That was Leah. So, and you went at night. You went at night. You paid the full price.
I paid the full price. I didn't do the student ticket.
Which you could, really.
I could, yeah.
Did you do that for a while, the student ID, until it expired?
Mine doesn't have an expiration date.
Or
nice.
We used to put our thumb over the expiration date.
Sure.
Student, you're 35. Get out of here. So what'd you see?
Saw True Grit.
And?
Loved it.
No Country for 14-Year-Old Girls.
So awesome.
He is. That is. That film just is. Yeah. And just a note, on the 25th is when they put out the Academy Award nominations. And, yeah, I'm thinking True Grit's going to get
what are
quite
you thinking?
A few. I think, well, first off, there's 10 nominations now. Remember, we had 10 last year.
That's
so
right.
I think the film that the three of us are going to make after this show could probably be one of the 10. No, I think True Grit's
it's like
in.
It's that whole culture of, you know, everybody's special, and so now
yes, that's right.
Special.
Yes, everybody.
So all the movies are special.
All
so
the
now.
Movies are special. Yes, it's just like soccer where you don't keep score.
Yeah, really. So why do we need 10?
Bring your juice box, because apparently we want it to be like 1937 all over again.
Yes.
But anyway, no, I think True Grit is probably going to get in because you will have some arty stuff. You will. I'm hoping actually. Winter's Bone gets in.
Yes.
King's Speech.
Oh yeah.
Social Network, which was my top. Black Swan. You got to have a blockbuster or two in there. So I wouldn't be surprised if True Grit or Toy Story 3, since Up made it last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll probably get films that really have no business being in there whatsoever. I don't want to think about what those are going to be, but I'm pretty sure True Grit's going to get Best Picture a nomination. Jeff Bridges, of course, will get nominated for Best Actor.
He's the dude.
And he abides, mm-hmm. which is on American Masters.
Yep.
This mm-hmm. week on PBS. Well, I have to look for a repeat broadcast. And Hailee Steinfeld. Best Supporting Actress. That's going to be one of the great surprise stories, I think, of this year. I think the Coens will probably get screenplay. And I can't remember if Carter Burwell's score is qualified and Roger Deakins, who is their longtime cinematographer. So it's going to get quite a bit. So you've not seen the original True Grit.
Nope.
Are you a Western guy? I mean, I showed you.
Well,
you watched The Wild Bunch.
Yeah, love the Wild Bunch, Fistful of Dollars. Mm.
That's right. You did watch the Spaghetti Western.
Yeah, watch the Spaghetti Western. Wild Bunch and Once Upon a Time in the West.
Cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, True Grit was just awesome. And I'm going to try to make it this way. I'm going to make an effort to get through Tommy this weekend. And what else do I have? I forget what else I have.
Didn't I give you a comedy? I'm sure I gave you a comedy to feel better. You gave me Raising Arizona.
Feel better.
Oh, no, this is what happened. A co-worker here at the station and myself have been taunting Mr. Slagle with a DVD copy of Blue Velvet.
I don't like scary things or freaky things. Oh, freaky things equal scary things.
Yeah,
so, okay. All right. Well,
see?
Yeah, but she's not the producer of the show, is she? And she's got Memento on her key. See? So when my fantasy football team beat his fantasy football team, I had him watch Psycho. I had him watch the original Psycho to ease into the process. And it was also Halloween, I think.
Yeah.
So, and then you finally became Mike Gundy. You became a man and you watched Blue Velvet and
oh,
it was
did
not.
You did
watch it.
Not nearly as bad as you thought, did
no,
you?
No, it wasn't.
I think it's awfully disturbing.
It is very disturbing.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
very
yeah.
disturbing, but also really well done.
Yes.
Dennis
yes.
Hopper is himself.
Oh my gosh.
So that being said, Kobe said, "Okay, this is go ahead. Actually, I'll let you say it since you said it."
Because I watched that, in no way, shape or form is that a gateway to give me more freaky stuff.
However, I did give him Ken Russell's film version of the musical Tommy.
Mm.
With the mm. Who and Anne Margaret mm-hmm. rolling around in baked beans, and
oh gosh, that's right,
Tina Turner.
That.
Oh, I didn't. Eric Clapton. Yeah, Keith Moon is Uncle Ernie. You're
Keith
gonna love
Moon
him.
Moon is super scary.
Elton John is Pinball Wizard,
yeah.
and
yeah.
Oliver Reed, who could outdrink the entire cast.
Yeah, gosh, I haven't seen that movie in a long time either.
Oh yeah, I'm a big
those...
Ken Russell nut. So no, this you'll appreciate this, Jillian, because well, both of you know the smart one in my house,
uh-huh.
known as Blythe. I was watching the DVD of Tommy, and she came down during my favorite scene with Anne
mm-hmm.
and the beans,
mm-hmm.
and And there's something about it's kind of like watching the swimsuit, making the swimsuit edition TV. The wife just sits down and starts watching it. This isn't what I had. This wasn't what I pictured. She's sitting there, arms folded. She got a nomination for this. Yeah, you like this.
Always walking on the wrong part.
I do. And then she just kind of went away. Because it's right. Now, that was on DVD. Fast forward to about a week later. Channel surfing is 11:30 at night. It's on cable.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's on that scene.
Oh, my
And from the
gosh.
Bedroom, I hear Lynn go, are you watching that again? No, it's on TV. I swear it's on TV. Uh-huh.
Somebody else did it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
what's she cooking?
That's the other show. That's the other show. You'll find out tomorrow, Saturdays at 8 on WFYI 90.1 HD1. Actually, about 9 o'clock after the calendar, so. I think we might be having a cameo from an old friend in just a little bit. So, but I'll tell you what, let's take a short break and we'll talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray and talk with the ladies about their play. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open, or the box in your grocery store. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. We have Jolene Menting-Moffitt and Leah DeWalt from The Last Night of Ballyhoo at Indianapolis Civic Theater, which opens tonight. And we will get to the ladies in a little bit. God, it's like all the women in my directing past and now all the producers in my past and present are here. We did this once before and we thought we'd try it again. We get a cameo appearance by Melissa Davis, who's normally on the board next door. But welcome back, Melissa. There was a documentary you wanted to talk about.
Yes.
And because you thought it would fit the show, and I think you're correct. So
it was pretty amazing. It was called The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
And this is an MTV Films production produced by Johnny Knoxville. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and explain it for us.
Well, I went into it thinking that it was actually a reality series. It came up on Netflix, one of those random things that just kind of come up. And I watched it and sat down with it. Well, it was an hour 30 documentary. And as I first got into it, I thought it was exploiting these hillbillies from West Virginia, you know.
By the Jackass guys.
Right. And so I was kind of turned off by it. I was like, great, here we go, you know. And it's party for the first 30 minutes, crazy. And then you start to see more about what they're trying to say about economic depression in West Virginia and drug use. And it's a great documentary. It follows a Appalachian dancer who is profiled on PBS. Jericho. I wish I could remember his name because really that's who it's based upon. But they kind of examine the rest of his family through the documentary. It's amazing.
So it's not just all drinking drugs and butt cracks.
There's some of that.
Right.
There's for sure some of that. But at first, that's when I'm like, great. You know, another portrayal of people from West Virginia as foolish hicks. And that's frustrating and I think annoying to me, especially I'm family from there, you know. So as I got into it, I was like, no, that isn't what at all. It isn't first. And then you're like, wow, it's a very revealing portrait of problems there. So highly recommend. Two thumbs up.
No, you can't say that.
Can't do that.
No.
Sorry, Mr. Ebert.
God, he copyrighted
those.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Oh, no.
And now he's going to come and yell at us.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ebert.
Jeez. Again, not second time I've had to say this. Not as sorry as I am. So you get to go back to the other studio and I'm stuck here.
On Netflix. On Netflix. And which I also so highly recommend streaming on Netflix.
Oh, really? And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And since you are here as well, just a reminder, I think it was February 8th at IU.
Yeah.
Tommy Wiseau's The Room at IU Auditorium.
Hi.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that as it gets a little closer. So
thanks,
Melissa.
Thank you. Great show.
Bye, Melissa. And there she goes back to where she's should be working. Okay. Well, new on DVD this week are two films that made my best of and or honorable mention, and a film that I'm surprised to say I actually liked more than I thought. We'll start with a film that I hope will at least get one Academy Award nomination this year. It's the Australian crime drama Animal Kingdom, and it stars Joel Edgerton as a 17-year-old who just wants to get involved in the family business. Capital F, capital B. The entire family is in on it, especially the grandmother of the house who, well, let's just say I wouldn't be surprised if The Manchurian Candidate is one of her all-time favorite movies.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's some affection right there. Here's some audio.
It's Paul Conroy. You have to help me. You have to help me. I can't breathe.
Okay,
no,
Mr. Conroy, can you
no, this is not the trailer for Animal Kingdom. This is the trailer for Buried. We want the Australian crime drama movie, not Ryan Reynolds in a box. Can we try again?
I can. Talk about Buried.
Wow. You know, yes, Julian, it is. You were saying off camera, off air, it is improvisation. There's a reason why they make 2 hours of Whose Line Is It Anyway and show you the best 30. Wow. All right, fine. Buried. The film starring Ryan Reynolds in a box. No snark there. But yes, he's a worker, a truck driver who is abducted while in the Middle East and is buried underground in a coffin. And that's the film. Jolene's giving me a look
that's
of disgust. Now,
doesn't sound very fun.
It's not a fun film. However, this film did come out before that other highly touted film that probably will get nominations, probably 127 Hours.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that is James Franco, the James Franco Cuts His Arm Off movie.
Right.
Well, this one is even more claustrophobic because it is Reynolds in the box. He's got, you know, as you heard a little bit, well, the spliced trailer of the cell phone and glow lights and things that, you know, trying to get in touch with anybody to find him buried in nowhere. So it's a scary concept. It's a really fascinating concept. And it does keep it really, I mean, it doesn't go anywhere. 127 hours, you at least have moments where you see the camera tracking his James Franco's mind. And, of course, there's the beginning and the end of the film, which I won't give away. But this one is all 95 minutes in this box.
Wow.
Shot in a couple of different ways. It's directed by Rodrigo Cortez. And
does he pull it off?
You mean the movie or the character?
No, yeah, I mean,
I say the movie. Yeah, it's an uncomfortable movie to watch, and there's just enough thrills. I mean, I'm thankful that it's the length that it is. It probably could have been shorter, but I thank God it's not longer. But there's just enough thrills in this to keep you going, and I can't believe I actually have nice things to say about Ryan Reynolds because
I know, that's
between Van Wilder and Waiting, I thought, you know, it's bad when Ed Burns thinks you're smug. And yeah, guys hate him because of the whole Scarlett Johansson thing. Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
But in the last couple of years, I've actually seen films where he's not been Mr. Smirky Face, or it's been used to his advantage. I remember he had a really good supporting role in Adventureland, where he played a local musician getting under the guidance of Kristen Stewart in different ways. And he was actually tolerable in The Proposal, the Sandra Bullock movie
that led up to.
He was not a raving D-bag in that picture. In fact, he had to muster a lot from, you can say that, just
all
not
right.
the whole thing.
Okay, all right.
Because... Anyway, we'll get down to that. Right. But no, he actually does a pretty good job. And I think it's going to get overlooked because of all of the grandeur that 127 Hours is getting, although not nearly as much as I thought there would be, even though James Franco is hosting the Oscars with Catwoman. I'm sorry, Anne Hathaway.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, those two. Well, I think part of it is they want to bring people under the age of 40 to watch the movie. So let's bring in the star of 127 Hours and Love and Other Drugs. I don't know. So, stranger things have happened. I know you're not old enough to remember this, Jolene, but I remember one time when they had five people hosting, like Richard Pryor and Dudley Moore and Liza Minnelli. And
what?
I'm not kidding. Walter Matthau. There was
didn't the Whoopi, Steve Martin.
There was that period for a while,
yes,
and the Billy
yes.
Crystal. And, of course, you know, last year, what? It was Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin.
Right.
So they were, okay, let's do another duo, but let's make them younger. So... Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, Buried is unnerving at times, but in a good way, and I think it's worth checking out.
Worth renting.
Okay. It's worth renting, right?
Now that was a good movie.
Okay, now can we talk about the movie I wanted to start with?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yep.
It's No Trouble?
It is not.
Great.
I got it.
Animal Kingdom, Australian crime drama, creepy grandmother in the house. Guy Pearce is in it, too. Here's some audio.
Everything Rich doesn't understand. Things survive because they're strong. You may think that you're one of the strong creatures. But you're not. You're one of the weak ones. But you've survived because you've been protected by the strong. But they're not strong anymore.
Hope you find the killers.
West Jane. I'm Detective Senior Sergeant Leggy. You ready?
Jay is a star witness.
This has got nothing to do with me. Everything has got to do with everyone. Now you're not in any danger. What do you think we should do?
Trauma?
What's the matrix?
The rest of the trailer is this song, and I don't need Air Supply on my show. Although, I have to admit, probably the best use of Air Supply in a film since Todd Solondz's Happiness.
I can't believe I just heard that song.
crap rock for a busy world.
Well,
they are Australian, of course. Yeah, this film has been getting a lot of notoriety because of Jackie Weaver, who plays the grandmother of the house. And let's just say when she greets her sons and grandsons, the smooches are just a little Tennessee Williams-esque.
Oh,
so, and she is the head of the household with all of these fine, young, upstanding gentlemen. So, yeah, if you're into crime dramas, and some people have been calling it the Australian Goodfellas, it's a family that's really starting to unravel, and this kid, the 17-year-old, really wants to become a part of it. Not the best time to start in on the business. Yeah. So, but no, hopefully we'll hear some more nods for this film on January 25th. We shall see. But, yeah, really pulling for Jackie Weaver on this one. I think she was our runner-up with the IFJA Awards right behind Haley Steinfeld for True Grit. So glad it's out. It was here, I think, maybe a week or two, and this is a film that really needs to be seen by more people on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes!
Also on DVD and Blu-ray, hopefully we'll get a nomination for Best Foreign Film, is the movie Lebanon. Not the Indiana City. It's about the first Lebanon War in 1982, and a lone tank with men who were just supposed to go on a general mission and search and look around at a little hostile, blown-up town, and guess what? The job doesn't go exactly as planned.
Ooh.
Best way to describe this, for lack of a better comparison, because that's what film critics do, we compare. It's kind of a tank version of Das Boot, the Wolfgang Peters, although shorter. It's 90 minutes, not the six-hour German miniseries, Jolene, I know, and the three-hour version and the two-and-a-half-hour theatrical cut, which I actually saw with my dad in the summer of 1982.
Mm.
Okay. But it does address one of the best moments is a guy who's, and basically everything he sees, and I'm sorry for the tact on this and the timing on this, but the movie came out this week. But there are a number of scenes where the guy is just kind of looking through the scope.
Oh.
And that's all he sees. And do you what decisions do you have to make, especially when you are out of your element, you're young, you're scared, and you don't know what's happening around you.
Right,
and
right.
I know the scope image is not very popular recently, mm-hmm. but that's what happens in this film. And it does address the horrors of war and the uncertainty,
yeah.
even if you've been trained to be unemotional in this mm-hmm. case. So, yeah, this is a fun date night, Jolene. All
yeah,
three films.
Sounds like it. Woo!
Those are some good date
movies. So,
as long as you can see them in order.
Yeah.
Ooh, that order? I don't know how that fares best, really. I don't think there is a really good order in this one. But this one is a film that made my top 10. Go rent it.
Yes, 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 yes!
You talk about films in order. We this year we had a couple of films where we got to see back-to-back films for the press. And this year, one of the days I was able to attend, it was The Fighter and then True Grit.
Mm.
So that's a good 4 hours.
Those are fun to see together.
Yeah. Last
like
year,
the old drive-ins.
Right.
Put two together for a
gotta get that and no
feature.
and don't hide in the trunk.
No, yeah,
not allowed to do that. Oh no, not you. Of course not, Leah. But no, last year we had back to back screenings, and I'm really glad they were in this order as opposed to reversing them. One morning we watched The Lovely Bones, and then Up in the Air.
Oh wow!
Could you imagine the other way? And yes. And then the next day, we watched A Single Man and then Nine.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine the other way? Having to end your day with a dead girl and a gay man who wants to kill himself.
No. Oh, that movie was so good,
Single
though.
Man?
It about killed me.
Well, it almost killed him, too.
The ending killed me.
And by the
I'm
way,
thinking of the right movie,
yeah,
aren't
the
I?
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. And
he's
by the
brilliant.
Way,
he's brilliant.
He, of course, did not win last year because it was Jeff Bridges' year.
I hope he wins this year.
It's a really, he's got a really good shot.
He's really good.
He is excellent in that film. It's not Michael Palin in A Fish Called Wanda. I mean, it's a really challenging performance, and he nails it.
Oh.
So I wouldn't be surprised if this is his year.
Okay.
That would,
no, which
that
nine
would be
are you
cool.
talking about? Because there were like three in the same
musical
year.
That I'm the only person
nine
on the planet liked. I mean,
really?
Yeah. Nobody else did. I
know.
Enjoyed it a great deal.
Everybody hated it. I didn't even see it because I thought, I don't want to not like it because I like the musical on the stage.
I had never seen it on stage,
okay.
and I saw the film.
As have I. I have not seen it on stage either. But yeah, the whole stage to screen thing, we could do 2 hours on that one.
Yeah,
let's
not.
But
invite me for that sometime.
Really? Okay, but you
I'm
can't.
I'm out of town.
You can't. Wow. But none of you can watch me watch Penelope Cruz. All right. So,
all right.
Now the truth comes out.
All
that's right. And it's a film that makes Kate Hudson actually tolerable. All right. Let's take a short break and let's talk to the ladies. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We're not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guess. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Welcome, ladies. On that note.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Payback is
what,
something.
What did I ever do to you?
Jolene just speaks.
I know, and we are all the better for it. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org, and I'm also on Facebook. Folks, it is opening night tonight. If you head over to Indianapolis Civic Theater, Last Night of Ballyhoo opens tonight. Jolene Menting-Moffitt and Leah DeWalt are in the show, but they're here. This is apparently some form of mental warm-up. To be here. As I said before, my directing world is colliding. I have the hot Irish maid and the mother of them all.
Who plays my mother now.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you're still with us.
Yes. I don't kill any babies in this show.
Oh.
It's a Greek tragedy reference, Kobe. I'll write it down for you later.
History on the stage.
Oh, hey, I've worked with her as a nurse and a mother.
Yeah.
I think Doubt is next.
Yeah,
Agnes God.
Right. Although you can't smoke on stage anymore, you know.
Oh, really?
No.
Not even cloves?
You're not supposed to have supposed to have live fire on stage anymore either.
Well, it's a good thing we're not doing any of those. We're not doing Firestarter the musical.
You're right.
They had to cancel that one.
So, ladies, tell us about Last Night of Ballyhoo.
It is a fun, charming, wonderfully warm thing to see this time of year.
Yes, but what about the play?
Uh-huh. No, really. It is 1939 Atlanta. So, I know.
That's a lot of bourbon.
I know.
Oh,
right, exactly. The night before, the night of the grand opening of Gone with the Wind.
The premiere.
4 days before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff going on, and it's basically in the house of this Jewish family in Atlanta who they own their own business, and everything that happens in getting ready to go to this gala called Ballyhoo.
Jewish business owners in Georgia. This sounds a lot like from the author of Driving Miss Daisy.
That's exactly what it is.
You win the author.
Special
Alfred
prize.
Urey.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you two in this?
I play Leah's mother.
Of course.
And
notice how she references her role in reference to me.
Yeah.
Put that feather in my cap, Jolene.
No, but it is charmingly delightful. It really is. It's funny. It's sweet. It's good stuff. The best thing about it,
yes,
is that it's rich in its language and its character development. I mean, this man
it won
has
the
made
Tony for best play in 1997.
Very good.
So these characters are fully three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Even there's one character who doesn't come on. We talk about him all through the first act. Mm-hmm. He doesn't come on until the second act. And when he does come on, he's a full, rich character. There's no
throwaways.
Yeah.
At all.
So it's
at
really
all.
Nice. It's nice language to speak. So, you know, it's one of those plays where you know you're saying the line incorrectly if you're not saying it correctly.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's beautiful. It really is lovely, and the costumes are lovely. 1939, so it's a period piece,
beautiful.
And the dialects have been challenging, but it's fun. It's really fun. I hope you see it.
Now go ahead. No.
Well, I was just gonna say that. I need to correct you that it's not the Indianapolis Civic Theater. It's the Booth Tarkington Civic Theater.
That's why you're
on the campus of Marion College, soon to be up in Carmel.
Yes, dear. What she said.
I
Another
just,
thing I
keep
say
getting
all
corrected,
the time.
So I
oh, no, no, no.
You.
You that's fair enough. It's quite all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like home. It's old home week. So, also, I was curious. You're talking about the accents being challenging. Is Atlanta a lot like London? Are there neighborhoods that are slightly different when it comes to, or class system? When it
definitely
comes to
class system.
Yes.
Okay.
One of my favorite parts about the dialect was we had a CD to help us work with them. You know, we'd listen to it in the car and practice it. And they actually say, you know, if you're saying a word that ends in ing, in a lot of cultures, if you drop the G, it lowers you in class.
Right.
Where in this culture, the higher class you are, the more often you do that. Mm. You know, that we go fishing and we go, you know, and we're talking, and that is a very high class way of saying it.
Horton Foote does the same way.
Which is hard, and this is my own prejudice, but it's a hard stereotype and prejudice to turn around in your head, because I kept thinking to myself, oh, I sound so stupid, but no, mm-hmm. You know.
Gotta keep the G.
Right, right.
So how do you two, I guess, how do the characters get along, and how do you two get along?
Because greatly.
You had not...
greatly.
Uh-oh.
Really and truly, that is a testament to the director, Jennifer Alexander.
Oh, hey, Jen.
Yeah, she's a great, phenomenal. Great, great director, yes. And she's worked with all of us really... really well. And
with pairing us together, too. It took Jolene and I about a day, and we're like,
oh, now I know why you got cast.
I think I got this because of you, and you got this because of me, right. And I got this is great.
Right. So, yeah, it's good. It's all good. Mm-hmm.
The cast is really close, and it's a smaller cast. There's only 7 people, which is nice because mm-hmm. nobody has a larger or smaller part than
no,
anyone
else. No, it's an ensemble
really an
piece.
Ensemble.
That's good.
And so
yeah.
Everyone, you know, supports each other and helps each other out, and mm-hmm. It's just been a great experience.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And on stage, our characters have a lot of fun together on stage.
Yeah, it's a typical mother-daughter, you know. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what a typical mother-daughter yeah. thing is.
Oh, trust me. Yes, you do.
I do. Okay. So, well, that's good to know. Okay.
Well, she's about 22 in this, so right. You know, what, 10, 13 years?
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
She'll be...
Thanks.
She'll be... No, I mean...
10 to 3... This is like next month.
Tell me,
once
not
the Girl
like
Scout
a
cookies are in.
Old,
oh, I see. Big diff. Yeah, okay.
The relationship, and it's all about dances and formals
right.
and going shopping
right.
and impressing
and again,
people.
It's 1939, so it's a patriarchal society, and
but there's
I mean,
only one man in the house and 4 women.
Right, but this, you know,
we've all tried the plan that and never works.
These mothers are trying to make sure their daughters are going to be taken care of, and
some of the daughters do a better job than others.
That's very true.
And they're not here to respond.
Oh, I'm on the shallow end of that gene pool.
She got the moxie, baby.
I yes. got the other one got the brains. I got the moxie.
I'd rather have the moxie any day.
Oh. We know that. And by the way, for the record, Jillian, it's mother with an O. Just checking.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So, did you guys have to rehearse during the holidays?
No, we didn't.
We had a good break.
Mm-hmm. We had a 2-week break, which
oh,
it was really
wow.
nice.
Wow.
We had a read-through right in the middle
right,
to
just
keep
to
everything.
Make sure we were still together.
Yeah.
But yeah, we rehearsed for 2 weeks.
About, yep.
Two and a half weeks, and then we had a 2-week break, and then we came back and boom, put it on its feet, and it's going. Mm-hmm. We opened tonight. We close on February 5th.
And we're
Thursdays through Sundays at thecivictheater.org.
The last weekend
theater
we do
with
not,
an R-E.
We do not have a Sunday performance.
That is
last
correct.
Weekend we close on a Saturday night.
Right.
Very cool. Now, Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it in prep for this?
She
I
had
never
seen it.
You
seen
have
it.
Never seen
I,
Gone with
and
the Wind.
I take full
I'm not looking
blame
at you, Kobe.
You have to make him see
I
it.
I saw a movie for the first time in a year and a half in a theater last night. No, I've not seen Gone with the Wind.
You have to make him see it. I mean, that's like Dr. Zhivago.
I know, but he got tired watching Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
It's got an intermission.
It does.
It was especially nice having a reason because I had not seen that play, and the day after I got the role, I was like, I need to watch this play every day from
it's
now until we open.
Okay.
And so I rented it, and it was fun to watch it because it wasn't just Leah watching it. I was able to, you know, I knew all of the responses that my character had in the show, and I was imagining watching it on the big screen the night that it, well, I guess she doesn't see it the night that it premieres, but that weekend,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the first time ever, and just imagining it, you know, because it's easy to watch old movies and be like, oh, wow, that scenery is pretty tacky. But to think, you know, to put myself in that spot, you know, and say this would have been the newest and the brightest and the biggest and
it's
the biggest
It's pretty overwhelming
stars.
Even today,
absolutely.
Don't you think? I mean,
in
seriously,
scope, absolutely.
It's an amazing mm-hmm. film.
And did your character wish to be Vivian Leigh?
Oh,
oh my God.
Who did?
Wish nothing. She is, baby. She is. Woo!
Watch 30 seconds of the play and you can answer that for
there
me.
You go, there you go.
Now,
so,
am I wrong, but didn't, like, the old Irvington Theater, didn't they used to show it every once in a while?
I think they did. We'll
they
do
must
some research
be somewhere.
I've seen it on the big
theater,
screen.
Somebody asked
I
me, they said it's a
yeah.
shame that they don't. And I said, I'm sure that they, for some anniversary of something, I'm sure that they would have.
That's a challenge because, one, the length. Two, finding a print. Now, I guess nowadays you could slip a disc into a theater, and I guess. But yeah, no, I've never seen that on the big screen. So kudos for you on that, Jimmy.
Yeah,
all
right, I got it.
I was magnifying it in my mind the whole time. Yeah, like, no, her face would be huge in that shot.
right.
Very good. Now I remember junior year of high school, Mr. Walden was our history teacher, and we watched Gone with the Wind. For a week.
I was going to say, that would take a week.
It took us Monday through Friday to get through the whole thing. And we learned.
In junior high, did you say?
No, junior year of high school. No, I did watch it. I watched a lot of movies as a kid, obviously, and that explains a lot. But
sure.
But no, the fact that it was that last week of class, and he was like, you know what, let's just watch this movie. And yeah, watching Clark Gable be a man back then. And we also had a bit, which I can't quite repeat here. But We had a little thing where it was almost Rocky Horror, where at the end of Hattie McDaniel's every single line, you added it with, "For I bust your head."
No, oh,
only
my God.
Something else.
Oh my gosh. Now, the girl who plays my cousin, Melissa, who plays Sunny in the show, she told me just the other evening that a friend of hers met Clark Gable at some films. I know. I almost fainted. And that he was very quiet and subdued and shy.
And probably a lot smaller than she thought he should be. Right? I mean, they're all much
was
littler
he not,
than...
He was
not
tall
as big. I mean,
like
he,
that?
I know. No, none of them are. They're all little.
They're all me.
People were teeny back then. We're trying to, like, try on gloves.
Gary
and
Cooper.
In the old John Wayne movies, the doorways are small so that it makes him look bigger.
Although Duke was... Duke was 6'3".
Oh, Duke was? Oh, there's somebody.
But no, like
then.
Alan Ladd and Gary Cooper. They had
everything.
A box. Yeah, I know. There's nothing wrong with the boxes. I was 12 when I saw photos of Dudley Morse dating Susan Anton, so there's never been an issue. Not in my world. Bless his heart. And then you asked the lady basketball players out, and that didn't go over well either.
But it was
just fun to watch. It was just interesting to see caffeinated teenagers watch Gone with the Wind, and for the most part, it's really getting into it.
Really,
so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So yeah, it's funny. I found I can't get the Blu-ray yet, but I did have it, and it was one of those. It took a week to watch it between the movies and the features and all that because the footage from the 1939 premiere, it's huge. That city shut down.
Talk about it in the play, about how
police
there are
barricades,
police barricades and all kinds of folks. Mm-hmm.
And that's something you don't see. I mean, we had it a little bit this year with Flip. Nothing was shut down, but it was on the Circle. But there is something about the movie premiere in the town.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a little extra special.
I think so.
I remember, what was it, about a decade and a half ago when Blue Chips opened and they had... They had the premiere, or one of the premieres, at the theater up in Frankfurt, where they shot in their 5,000 seat basketball arena.
Didn't they do a premiere here for Eight Men Out?
I think Eight Men Out, which I know my father-in-law's arm is in a scene.
That's exciting.
Yes, very exciting.
I have curtains that hang in my home that were on the set of Eight Men Out.
How did you finagle those?
Because I know an actor who was in a couple of the scenes. And
who was that?
Yanked the
Dave
curtains
Stromeyer.
Off the wall.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have curtains.
And I have curtains that hang in my living room. I sneak into movies and I have curtains.
Living on the edge, Joe.
I know. I push the envelope.
And I walk 3 feet behind you, as usual, dear. Wow. Well, for you to take a second, I need this happened the last time you were here as well, Julian, but we need to raise a glass for actress Susanna York, who passed this week at the age of 71.
Wow.
Now, young folks, stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
Got known early on as one of the young lasses of English cinema in the early 60s. She played Sophie in Tom Jones. That's with Albert Finney, not the singer who stuffs his pants, Kobe. Okay, just a point of reference there. She played Margaret in Man for All Seasons, so working with Paul Scofield. If you get a chance, there's a really good film directed by Robert Aldrich called The Killing of Sister George, where she plays, you know,
great
Jolene,
play, too.
Yes, and it's she plays the young lover of the aging soap opera actress. And the fact that it was directed by the guy who gave us The Longest Yard and The Dirty Dozen, Robert Aldrich, who also directed Kiss Me Deadly, which is going to be part of the IMA series.
It's all a big circle.
It is all a big circle. That's how, this is your pledge dollars at work, folks.
That's right. Woo!
So, but yeah, Killing His Sister George. I forgot. See, that's what you, mm-hmm. I knew you read the play. Mm-hmm. So, but she also got an Academy Award nomination in 1969 as the beauty queen in the, speaking of date films, They Shoot Horses, Don't They?
Oh.
Now, picture this. I carry on Jolene's wince. It's about a dance marathon during the Depression. And these were dance marathons that went on for weeks. Mm-hmm. Not days, weeks. Mm-hmm. And as time goes on in the film, you get to see how it's just a big racket. And even the winner is not going to come home with everything it's supposed to get. It had Michael Sarrazin. This was the big dramatic turn for Jane Fonda. She got a nomination for that. Sidney Pollack, of course, directed it. Bonnie Bedelia, Bruce Dern. Susanna York was in this. And, of course, the Academy Award-winning performance by Gig Young, who played the MC, the very smarmy, oily MC. Red Buttons was in this film as well. But it's just the desperation of these people trying something, anything, to get a little bit of cash and a little bit of fame.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, how's everybody doing? So that was, she was in that. She was in X, Y, and Z, the very bizarre drama with Elizabeth Taylor and Michael Caine. She had a really good starring role in the Robert Altman drama Images, where she played a schizophrenic housewife trying to kill off the apparitions in her, or apparitions in her mind. And it's kind of very similar to Black Swan and Inception of the, is it real or is this, how much is this in her head and how much of it is real? She also played, this is a nice note, she played Mrs. Cratchit in the George C. Scott version of A Christmas Carol.
Adorable.
If you remember from the early 80s. And she's married to David Warner as Bob Cratchit. David Warner playing Bob Cratchit is a lot like, Gary Oldman playing Bob Cratchit, which he did last year.
He did?
Well, in the animated Jim Carrey version.
Oh, I didn't see that. I'm not a Jim Carrey fan.
Well, it's not him. Well, it is him, but it's him.
All right,
it's his voice. Well, Scrooge doesn't speak through his butt cheeks on this one.
Yeah.
You can't see that.
No, I can't see that.
No. No Truman Show?
No. I saw that. I can't do him.
Okay, all right. Okay, fair enough. She also played Lady Churchill in Yellowbeard, and for some comic nerds out there, she also played Lara, a.k.a. Superman's mother. So, yes, Marlon Brando plus Susanna York equals Christopher Reeve.
On this show. Never know.
Superman.
That's right, cinematic genius. So, Susanna York, thank you for all your work. That's fun. Kobe.
Yep.
You have a musical you still need to watch, sir.
Don't we all?
Thank you, Leah.
You're welcome.
Yep.
You should give him something good, like American in Paris.
I've been
or
giving him
some
old for musicals.
Astaire,
hear that?
Or, you know,
hear
on.
That? Yeah.
Do you want to hot stand behind her and jump up and down while you're at it? I will take that into consideration.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I know Gene Kelly musicals.
You want him to
good.
Love these movies. You don't want him to think that movie musicals are bleh.
Well, it's okay.
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 All right.
Yes.
Point taken.
Yes, dear.
Move on. Let's move on.
But you still need to see Anne Margaret Roller.
You do need to see Tommy.
You got to see Tommy. See, she
you
even
do.
Said so.
Yeah. I've
also,
seen
I love The Who. So.
See there you go.
See
and this was interesting because I mean the album, the studio album itself is really good, and then the fact that they have all these guest stars from Tina Turner and
it's good.
Elton John.
Totally worth
it's
watching.
It's a trip. And Ken Russell is a man. I like to say he has his own zip code. This is a man who also made a bio. He followed this film up with Listomania, where Roger Daltrey portrayed Franz Liszt.
Oh my gosh.
I have it on VHS. Oh. And Ringo Starr is the Pope, and Wagner is portrayed as a combination of Hitler and Dracula.
Oh, wow.
It out Tommy's Tommy, as the ad campaign
sounds
once
like
said.
It.
He also directed Women in Love with Glenda Jackson, and for some people, especially my friend Heather on Facebook, a very interesting wrestling match between Oliver Reed and Alan Bates in 1970.
Mm. That sounds
date
frightening.
Date night for Julie. And that was not his crazy music. That was his crazy musical. He also did the musical version of The Girlfriend with Twiggy.
Really?
So
interesting.
See, all these old titles for you. Now go to your Netflix and find them, or to my library. Here's some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Jolene Menting Moffitt, Leah DeWalt, thank you so much for coming in tonight. Break a leg, give, and have fun at Last Night of Ballyhoo. We're at civictheater.org.
That's exactly right. Theater with an R-E.
Yes, dear. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
So, on behalf of Kobe Slagle, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.